I'll never know the simple joys of a monkey knife fight.
Hey sleepers, welcome to a special edition of the Sleeper Wire Show. I'm so happy you guys are here, and I'm so happy to have my guests here today. Today I have two great people with me, one mainstay, Nader from Top Tier, right? And we all know Nader, and I have another special guest, the man, the myth, the legend, the president of Monkey Knife Fight, Nick Solsky, is here on the show with us today. I got two questions for both of you. First, what's your favorite Queen of the Stone Age song? And second, how are you guys doing?
So since I have no idea who the Queen of the Stone Age are, none.
Wow, you don't know Queens of the Stone Age. Nader, we've just met and I fucking hate you already.
What are they? I don't even know what
I'm
they are.
I'm just kidding. It's that it's the greatest rock and roll band on planet Earth at the moment. You'd recognize a bunch of their songs. So was the question the best or my favorite? There's a big difference there.
Well, it's you, so I mean they both go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, I think my favorite is a song called My God is the Sun. I really, really love that. I really love that song. But there's a song called Like Clockwork, which is actually the name of their second to last album. And there's a bridge, there's a piano bridge moment in it that just gets me every time. So there's two. There's a harder one and a softer one for you.
Awesome. How are you doing, man? How are things going?
Dude, nothing better over here, man. It's great. March Madness starts in a couple days. NFL free agency is rocking. Baseball season's a couple weeks away. I live in Toronto. Vladdy Guerrero's dropped 40 pounds, so he's going to break out. The Raptors unfortunately got hit with COVID and they're dropping fast, but hey, sports are back. Masters are like 3.5-4 weeks from now. Like, hey, things are good.
How about you, Nader? How you doing?
I'm gonna have to agree. Things are, you know, everything's looking up, and free agency has been a lot of fun. You know, I'm a big Niners fan, so seeing them secure a little bit of an O-line for Jimmy G always feels a little bit nice, I have to say. You know, I'm all the way in San Francisco, but I'm a huge Cubs fan, and I want to see them grab another ship.
You brought up free agency, so you know, I'll let me. Can I read you my answer? I'm fucking terrible. I'm a fucking Raiders fan.
You're the worst.
And they just cut Rodney Hudson. Like, what are they doing? John Brown is the big. I mean, I like this the Ngakoue signing. I think that was great. It's nice to have a pass rusher that can get more than like 3 sacks. But what are they doing? Just cutting Rodney Hudson, cutting an all-pro center, unless they have a big move coming. And let's face it, I don't think the Raiders are trading for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. Like, what in God's name are they doing? And John Brown, like, we already have Henry Ruggs. We don't need John Brown. We need a big body receiver who can actually catch a pass over the middle. I like Hunter. Anyway, I can just keep going. Sorry. So, yeah, I'm terrible. Not good.
One of my good buddies is also a Raiders fan, so I got to be able to send him a couple memes, take a couple shots at him for those. But I do want to say I don't think the Raiders cut Rodney Hudson just yet. They said they were going to, but I think they're backtracking.
Oh, is that true? Oh,
I think they're trying to trade him first. I think they're going to try to trade him. Well,
they shouldn't do that. Fuck Twitter, man. I swear. I believe everything I see on Twitter. I saw on Twitter, Nader, that you weren't an attractive guy, but man, you are a pretty guy.
Who said that?
Who
said
that? Must have been a troll.
Who said that? Better square up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so for all three of our listeners who don't know what Monkey Knife Fight is, what is Monkey Knife Fight?
So Monkey Knife Fight is now the third biggest daily fantasy sports platform. We launched 2.5 years ago. It's a prop style daily fantasy sports product. And about two or a month and a half ago, we got acquired by Bally for a fairly significant amount of money. So now we're a part of the Bally family, which involves a sports betting platform called Betworks, a free-to-play gaming company called SmartCaller, Monkey Knife Fights, a DFS product. Bally's has done a big deal with Sinclair. So on March 31st, all of the Fox regional sports networks in the U.S. are already being rebranded Bally Sports. And of course, you know, Bally's owns and operates a number of casinos across the U.S. So right now, Monkey Knife Fight is one of the is the third biggest DFS and a core piece of one of the biggest growing gaming empires in North America.
So let me. I did some background checking. Let me make sure I got this number right. Monkey Knife Fight was sold for $90 million.
Yep. $90 million.
Holy shit.
Man. You know how much that is?
Well, here, let me tell you. Let me tell you how much it is. So right now, 90 million Americans have received the coronavirus vaccine. There are more than 90 million small businesses on Facebook. Trump's European golf resorts have lost $90 million since inception. Johnny Cash has sold more than 90 million records worldwide. So, Nick, what's it like to be president of a company that's more well-known than Johnny Cash, Richard and Donald Trump, and currently more popular than the coronavirus vaccine?
Wow, those are some hefty things to compare Monkey Knife Fight to. I mean, it feels great. I mean, to be completely candid, you know, where we've been able to bring Monkey Knife Fight to. Now, I wouldn't say that we are as famous as Johnny Cash. You are as famous as the Man in Black. You know, rest in peace, Johnny Cash. I refuse to reference anything involving Donald Trump. I am apolitical and Canadian. So I don't give a crap if his golf courses have lost money. I don't care. And as far as being, did you say more popular than the coronavirus? I don't know if being compared to a global pandemic.
Well, no, the coronavirus thing, so. Vaccine. See, you're the cure. Oh, you're the cure. They are the disease. You're the cure.
Fair enough. I like cures. Cures are good, man. I even like the band The Cure. See, to bring it all the way back to music, right?
Still don't even Johnny know who Cash. The Cure is.
Oh my goodness. We're gonna have to have a class. We're gonna talk music after.
Nate, come take on. Me to school any day.
There you go. No, so yeah, no, it feels great. I mean, ultimately, it's been a wild ride with Monkey Knife Fight. I mean, we did, you know, we've done some great deals. We've built a pretty cool business trying to help daily fantasy sports. You know, we like to try and democratize DFS, right? I mean, DFS for years have been dominated by the professional players and the sharks. And quite frankly, at Monkey Knife Fight, we wanted to build a platform that allowed the casual fan an actual chance at winning. And we did that. So, you know, it feels pretty good to be able to be the daily fantasy sports platform for the casual sports fan, put it that way.
Awesome.
And $90 million doesn't suck.
Well,
not that I get it or anything, but hey.
I hear you. I hear you. It all goes to the wife and the kids.
So, yeah, not my wife, nor my kids, but anyway.
So you're not like an overnight sensation, right? You've been working in gaming and the sports industry for like the better part of two decades. I did my best to try to find a clip from Fantasy Hockey Report.
Oh,
but
God.
I couldn't find one. That TS Insight is actually really well put together. That was where you started, right?
Well, the Fantasy Hockey Report, which predates YouTube, I'm old. See, there's that's gray. That's not dye.
Instant credibility.
Instant credibility. Right. The Fantasy Hockey Report was, I think, the first fantasy sports show that was produced by a media company. TSN is kind of Canadian ESPN. The co-host, my co-host at the time, a guy by the name of Scott Cullen, is pretty well known in fantasy circles and fantasy Twitter. Big time hockey expert, but I mean, obviously, he's an expert in a multitude of sports now. But yeah, that was my first foray into the officially into the world of fantasy. I mean, I was a content guy before, you know, made some TV shows and movies and stuff, got into talking about sports on TV, created Fantasy Hockey Report. And then, you know, this was, like you said, about almost 2 decades ago. And then started my career on the tech side, founded one startup, and then joined another company and acquired Draft Day. I was the president of Draft Day for a number of years. And then was part of the founding team at Monkey Knife Fight. So yeah, I've been around the block for a while, put it that way.
And I know we got a lot of listeners that are interested in making the splash in the fantasy world. What advice would you give any of them who are interested, who want to be, you know, want to get to where you're at?
Well, I mean, I think that the first question is, what do you want to do, right? If you want to be, you know, there are a lot of different roles in the fantasy space. If you want to be a content creator, an analyst, well, you know, my suggestion is be authentic, be genuine. Don't try and become something that you're not, because an audience these days can sniff bullshit, right? And they can tell if you're not actually the kind of person you're trying to represent. And just, you know, produce content, try and create cool things, network. You know, I believe in the adage kind of, if you don't ask, you don't get, you know, reach out to people. Don't be shy or scared to do things. I wouldn't say do things for free, because I'm not really a believer in kind of free work. But you know, try and make connections and collaborate with folks that you think you can add value to. Now, if you're and look at emerging technologies and emerging platforms to try and figure out a niche that you could latch yourself onto. You know, let's face it. I mean, the big tech thing of the moment is Clubhouse. Now, you know, I dig it. It's kind of cool. Ultimately, people haven't really figured it out from a gaming perspective yet. So maybe think about how to leverage that, right? A lot of people are talking about Top Shots and NFTs right now. Like, is there a fantasy angle there that you could kind of think about and try and, you know, create a place for yourself? I mean, let's face it. Creating content these days is easier than it's ever been. So the reality is, if you want to create a career, stake a fucking claim. Like, be yourself, but figure out a lane and commit to it and drive down it. Now, if your goal is to be on the operator side and to build a business, well, that's a different story altogether. I mean, building startup and building product is a grind. You know, you're going to be able to generate a little bit of revenue a lot faster being a content creator. Ultimately, if you want to swing for the fences and make a lot of money, well, it's going to also mean you're going to have to risk a lot more, right? No one's walking around writing checks just because you have ideas, right? You're going to have to figure out how to build something, test something, launch something, market something, acquire enough. The term is overused, like critical mass, to get people with dollars to pay attention that believe that you can make them a lot more money, right? So, you know, my first advice, if you want to get into the fantasy industry, is decide exactly what you want to do, right? Marketing, sales, content, development, like what is it? Then don't be shy, find the right people, whether it's Twitter, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, and just reach out to people. Don't be shy, right? Get used to hearing the word no if you want to go out and do your stuff, because ultimately, you know, I've heard no 99.9% of the time more than I've heard yes, right? Like, you got to get a thick skin, man, because you're going to get no a lot. So just learn to plug through it. And I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of fucking startup mantras out there, but you learn more from failures than you do from successes as well, right? So a no isn't never. Also, there you go. There's a lot of cliches for you.
right. He who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right.
That's right. Or in the great words of Yoda, right? Oh my God, I'm gonna mess up the line, and I'm a diehard Star Wars fan.
Killing me, man.
I know. Like, what is it? Do or do not. There is no try.
There you go. You got it. I had Mike Quinn on the show. Do you know who Mike Quinn is? He played 9-Numb in all the six of the movies.
Come on.
Dude,
come
I
on. He was
after,
the co-pilot of the Millennium Falcon.
There you go. He was a great guy. He's super cool.
So the question is, Nader, you don't know Queens of the Stone Age or The Cure. Do you know what Star Wars
is? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
that one hurt a little bit inside. Come on. Come on. That one hurt.
Hey, what you were saying, I really liked what you were saying about reach out to people, because that's how you and I met. I met you on Clubhouse, and I think it was the same day I met Matthew Berry, actually. And both of you said, just try to get into new technology. But I reached out to you and was like, hey, man, you're awesome. Come be on the show. And you were super accommodating and said, yeah, sure, I can do that. But if I hadn't reached out, we wouldn't be here. So
yeah, like I say, I mean, the worst thing that folks are going to say to you if you reach out respectfully, which you did, is just say, I'm sorry, I just don't have the time, but I'll let you know when I do. But ultimately, I like this. This is fun. I enjoy talking to people. And as you can tell, I'm a bit of a, you know, I like to hear myself talk, because, you know, my wife and my daughter are already bored sick of me. So when I can find other people to bore, I'm all over it.
I have two daughters, and they're both bored of me, so I hear you.
There you
imagine
go.
Having kids.
just imagine. Just imagine.
Because it's coming.
It's coming. And it's this, brother. You'll see.
Oh.
Like that's
man.
That's a nice thick head of hair.
This is why you wear the baseball cap.
Oh, yeah. I love baseball hats, man. Hey, fool. It's funny, baseball hats, but no, I'm representing. You know what I mean? Yeah, there,
the Raiders. That's... I can go into more jokes. No worries. I can go into more jokes, but you know, I'm going to spare you the cry. I'm going to spare you it. So I'm going to go on a mini rant, because I want to kind of pile on what you said by reaching out to people. And I want to use the quick mini example of what I did. Cause you know, of course now I'm on like the little Sleeper Wire network for fantasy football and all that good stuff. And you know, me and my good buddy, we are the Raiders fan. We also do, we started with our own fantasy football podcast, and you know, we felt like we had a really good show. You know, we had great takes, great drops, great, you know, like segues, you know, professional mics. You know, we had professional equipment, and yeah, as you guys, you know, unfortunately the viewers can't see, but we have a little green screen right behind me, so we can put an interactive background. And but we didn't have the mass audience that you were talking about, and because we're new and it is a little bit of a saturated market, it's difficult to kind of get a market. So I actually reached out to I don't remember if it's you, Mo, or if it's Hoos, to join the Sleeper Network, because I felt like, oh, they have an audience if I join them. And you know,
we're just gonna say basically it's me.
Okay, of course, it was you. It was definitely you. And then if I could, you know, advertise myself a little bit, if I could show my talents, then I, not only could I get whichever show I'm on a large amount of viewers, but then I could also, you know, build myself off as a brand. And I think that is one of the biggest things that somebody could do, is try to interact with others to gain any type of audience they possibly can.
Amen.
Hey, so have you heard of, what is it? It's Monkey Knife Fight Against Cancer. Have you heard about this?
No, what is that?
Really? All right. So here, let me put on my...
Wait, seriously, that exists?
Seriously, it exists, and I'm going to read it to you. Celebrating the toughest, gnarliest, steepest, brutalest, most ridiculous roads you'll ever ride while knife fighting cancer in the jugular. Monkey Knife Fighting Against Cancer. They've raised over $2 million for the American Cancer Society. And they've been going on for the last 10 years. They're out of Emeritus, Pennsylvania.
What? I've never... Yeah. So please, can you send me a link about that? So I have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I've had it for 12 years, right? So... this is, I mean, obviously, personally, it's a cause that I'm directly impacted by, but I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so, I'll send it to you. Please, I mean, I am definitely not a good enough writer to come up with those adjectives. So, you know, it's certainly a real thing. I'll send it to you.
And they've been around for 10 years. Wow. Yeah, no, I'd love to, I mean, just personally, I'd love to get some more info and potentially get involved, right? I mean, ultimately... like I said, I'm directly impacted by that fucking horrible disease. So, hey, if there's anything I can do to help spread the word and help raise funds, I'm all over that.
That's awesome, because this is kind of the part of the show where I want to talk about charity and Sleeper Wire itself being a 501c3. And you guys know that everything we do, we give back to the community. We try to help. So we just want to thank everybody who's given to Sleeper Wire. But also, I've seen that Monkey Knife Fight, your company, what they do in the community. So you've donated to King's Care Relief, my hometown and Nader's hometown, San Francisco Giants, right? You did the coronavirus relief out there. So yes. It sounds like you give a lot, man. So is there any causes that you are working with right now, or how would someone donate or give to anything that you're passionate about?
Well, no, you know what? And I got to give full props also to our owner, Bill Asher, who made, you know, when the pandemic hit, he really made charitable contributions to the COVID relief foundations of the teams that we were working with a major priority. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, we did a slew of deals last year with the Giants, with the Brewers, the Twins, the Padres, the Rangers, the Marlins in baseball. I don't think I'm forgetting any. And then in football with the Dolphins and the Bucks, with the Kings in the NHL, in the Galaxy, in LA, and with Charlie Hoffman, who's a PGA golfer. And we've donated a significant amount of money to his foundation as well. You know, ultimately it goes back to what we were talking about, even at the very beginning of the podcast, talking about being authentic and genuine. I mean, you know, you can't just say you want to be good, you want to be a good part of the community, you want to help people without actually putting your money where your mouth is, right? Mm. So, especially in the time of the global pandemic, and when, you know, when folks were really, really struggling, I mean, folks still are, obviously, but it was even more important for us to do whatever we could to give back. And ultimately, our owner is fortunate enough to be able to give back, and he made it a big priority. So it was a true, you know, it was a blessing, but it was a true honor to be able to work alongside those teams. So ultimately, there isn't a specific cause or a specific foundation that we at Monkey Knife Fight would suggest you donate to. I like but Monkey Knife Fight Cancer or whatever.
Monkey Knife Fight Against Cancer. Yeah.
My Monkey Knife Fight Against Cancer. I mean, I would like to throw as much weight behind that as possible. And that's amazing. I love it. So, and like I said, I mean, the Charlie Hoffman Foundation is very, it's a very all inclusive. Charlie works with a lot of different groups, but ultimately, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter where or who you give money to. But giving back is important. There are so many important causes out there. So find something that actually means something to you. And if it's COVID relief, great. If it's the fight against cancer, great. If it's, you know, child poverty, you know, if it's, I mean, there's tons, right? You know, there's a specific charity up. I live in Toronto. There's a charity that's very near and dear to my family's, you know, wants or you know, hopes. Called Megan's Hug that we donate money to every year. I mean, it's really just about finding something that you really believe in and care about and just donate, like, and literally donate $5. Everything matters these days, you know?
Right. I'm a believer in the concept that the more you give, the more you get, as backwards as that sounds. I think that's a truism in the world.
Hey, I'm with you.
So we talked about the charity aspect, but what is the next big project for Monkey Knife Fight? What's the next big project for you? Do you guys have anything on the horizon? Any salacious pieces of info you can give us?
Well, no, I mean, you know, we, you know, as we talked about, you know, we were acquired by Bally, about a month and a half ago, and, part of the Bally family now is a relationship with Sinclair, the Fox Regional Sports Networks in the U.S. are all being rebranded Bally Sports in a couple weeks. And so the big project for us right now is figuring out ways that we can integrate Monkey Knife Fight into broadcast, into games, into digital activations alongside the great folks at Sinclair and Bally Sports, obviously, in trying to figure out, quite frankly, how to make the experience of being a sports fan better. Right. I mean, sports betting isn't national, isn't legal in a majority of U.S. states. Monkey Knife Fight being a daily fantasy sports platform is legal in, you know, in 39 states. So, you know, let's face it. We all love fantasy sports. Daily fantasy sports is a way that we can get a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a sweat on from a day-to-day basis. It makes watching the games more fun. I mean, let's face facts. And so, you know, our goal, our mission is to make that experience of watching sports more fun. So being able to work alongside the amazing folks at Sinclair and Bally to figure out ways to integrate MKF into broadcast to make the experience of being a, you know, a San Francisco Giants fan better, or a San Diego Padres fan better, or a Milwaukee Brewers fan better, that excites me, right? It really excites me to think about what the experience of watching sports is and how we can use our phones, devices to make that experience even more fun.
So I got it. So you want everybody to take their stimulus checks and go spend them at the Bally's Casino in Las Vegas is what you're saying, right? We all got that.
Genius. No, I want them going to Monkey Knife Fight and spending it there. Like, yeah, the casino is great, but hey, I would rather them increase the kind of the bottom line of Monkey Knife Fight before they go to the casinos. You know what I mean? But no, you can go to the casinos too if you want, but Monkey Knife Fight's way more fun. You could do that on your phone, right?
Awesome. I looked up the dumbest bets anybody's ever made on Monkey Knife Fight. And of course, there's a giant Reddit stream for this. Have you ever seen this?
I have not, but I will say, technically, no one has ever made a bet on Monkey Knife Fight. They enter contests on Monkey Knife Fight.
There you go. There you go. That's better. That's better. I'll make sure that edit this.
It's all good. gaming humor.
So would you, there's two things. One, I want you to tell me which one of these bets do you think is the worst? And also if you have any stories about some interesting bets that you've, or sorry, let me rephrase, interesting contests you have seen. I'd love to hear them. So
sure.
All right. So here are some that I read. A user by the name of Dick said he made a live bet while watching a game on a delay. And a user by the name of Boom Quisha, not to be outdone, said that she made a live bet while watching a rerun of a game from earlier in the year, thinking it was a live game.
Well, I guess the only way that second one would have worked is if it was, example, if it was a Raptors-Sixers game that she was watching from whatever 3 months ago and thought that it was the game of tonight that she was entering on the site. That would be the only way that could physically work. And if that's the case, I mean, that's pretty funny. That's pretty great. I mean, as far as the broadcast delay goes, I mean, sucks to be you, I guess. You know, I mean, but I mean, I will say that though, like the users in that scenario, I think both are foolish, especially in the age of like everyone's got a computer in their freaking pocket. But the best we have like a running list of some of the best excuses, because oftentimes people would enter a contest in Monkey Knife Fight, they would lose. And they would email customer support with some kind of excuse as to why they should have contest refunded. Some of them are spectacular. The best one, and I'm going to do a really bad job describing it, but you'll get the gist. The best was the person that said that their cat was on their computer and entered a contest without him knowing, claimed that he should get it refunded because it was the cat's fault. No. And this was like a long like description in customer support. Another person said that their like 8-year-old signed up for an account, got their credit card, you know, went through all the KYC and all of that and submitted an entry and wanted it refunded because it was the kid's fault. Doing it. And what was funny in that scenario, it's like, okay, so literally what you're saying is that your child committed credit card fraud. So what are you exactly saying here? So, yeah, so we get a lot of real fun customer support excuses as to why they should get refunded on losses. But the cat, I think the cat entering a contest was probably the best one.
Absolutely.
He should have gotten his money back for that. I think that's a completely fair, plausible reason.
We do have some of these debates because, as you know, we have an amazing customer support team. And, you know, as the questions get escalated up the chain, eventually sometimes they get to me. And sometimes we have these conversations. It's like, man, that's a good excuse. Like, should we just refund them anyway? Because that's a really good excuse. But ultimately, the answer is no. I mean, compliance.
You're giving our listeners ideas.
Yeah, but ultimately, it won't work, right? Because, you know, the key with being a real money gaming operator is having the protocols and the procedures in place to deal with real money gaming. And we have to play everything exactly by the book. I mean, that's just the way that it is, right? So there is no gray area around contests like that. Like there is no story that someone's going to come up with that's going to like tug on our heartstrings or blame a cat. Like ultimately, there are enough notices on our site around confirming contest entry. There are enough fail safes where we give users the opportunity to not enter those contests. Or once you enter a contest, like it is what it is, right? So yeah, no cat stories.
No cat stories.
No.
I have two more. Fat Batman said that he lost a $600 bet on the Chiefs, which if he had won, he had only won $48 this year. So he bet $600 in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs to win $48.
How?
Well, I mean, that wasn't on Monkey Night Fight because we don't do team stuff, but that is I don't understand how that would have worked because like he bet 48 or sorry, he bet 600
to win 600 to win 48. That's what he said. I'm not going out checking the validity of these.
That's kind of crazy because I don't think there was any moment in the game where the Chiefs were that big of a favorite. So yeah. I don't see how that could have been possible.
A guy by the name of Bud Lightyear said that he bet half a Bitcoin on the Broncos to beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Like when?
Well, when they played in the Super Bowl, right? This so when did what, the Broncos play the in the
Yeah, Seahawks? but there was no Bitcoin back then.
Well, Bitcoin was created, I think, 2012. I would know. I have one.
Oh, was it really? Oh, well, there you go. See,
how much would that be today?
Have what created?
$14 billion.
2009, actually. half a Bitcoin by then, 2012.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have one last one. A user by the name of No Child Support. He said that he bet against Tom Brady every game in the playoffs this year.
See, I like his style. I got a lot of respect for Tom Brady, but boy, do I hate that guy. I mean, not personally. Just I'm a Raiders fan, right? Tuck Rule just destroyed.
Sure. You're an NFL my ability, fan.
Yeah, destroyed my ability to root for Tom Brady. But I like his spirit.
Sure, I get it. Go all the way.
I wouldn't bet money against Tom Brady, but more power to you.
Monkey Knife Fight was a supporter of the Bucks. I saw. Do you got any Tom Brady or NFL player stories?
No, we are the official partner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are actually we're also the official partner of the National Football League Players Association. You know, we've had the support of a ton of amazing NFL players. But no real crazy stories. But you know, it was cool to see guys like Rob Gronkowski and Leonard Fournette and Stephon Diggs, like Kirk Cousins, rocking MKF gear. Like that was pretty cool. But no, and we did a campaign around the Super Bowl with Derrick Henry and Aaron Donald. That was pretty awesome. But yeah, no salacious stories. Nothing too interesting.
So to go back real quick. In 2012, the yearly average for Bitcoin was $5.27. So let's see. Now at the current price right now, that is about $25,000 that he lost right there. And one, the Tuck Rule was the best rule ever created. Can't change my mind. And it is still the correct call. Yeah, I said it. And I'm just going to rest my case there.
Man, you... I am revoking my membership to the Nader fan club. Don't know what Queens of the Stone Age is. You think the Tuck rule is a good rule.
It was.
I kind of think you were lying about knowing what Star Wars was or is, to be honest. Hey, I kind of read through that.
Google's right in front of me.
But you're good looking, so it all works out, man. It all works out.
Well, he's got no kids. He's good looking until the kids come. And then, there goes the hair and the true Nader. No, you're a handsome fella. I admit that.
I wish. But see, the key to that is not having kids.
There might be truth to that.
It's true. It's true. But then you wouldn't know what iCarly or Fortnite was. You know what I mean? But anyway. Well, you have no kids, so you probably know what Fortnite is. So, hey.
Is that a logo? Kind of true.
A little paradox there.
Oh, there you go. Got him. Are you guys considered boomers?
I think we're Gen X.
Yeah, right? We're Gen X. Boomers. Yeah, no. Boomers are like 60. Baby boomers were born in the 50s. I believe that's the official terminology.
Generation 50s. OAS is what we are. Generation old as fuck. Hey, so
there you go.
You guys have all, you both done fantasy sports. I think you guys know this game. This game's called Would You Rather. Have you guys have both done this? Like you choose two players, like would you rather this or would you rather that player? Right. You guys both know that.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Sure. So we're going to jump into some would you rather here. Since we were talking about Tom Brady and AB, we'll do an easy one and I'll throw this to you, Nader. Mm-hmm. Next season, would you rather Tom Brady or Antonio Brown on your fantasy team? And I need at least 2 minute long explanations on why.
Okay. I'll go Antonio Brown because his, if we're talking about it, like a redraft league where, you know, you draft a different team every year, his fantasy value will be much lower than Tom Brady's. So his average draft position, Antonio Brown, I'm going to be guessing it's going to be around the 11th to 13th round. So his chances of, you know, his chances of elevating and being worth more than Tom Brady is going to be higher than Tom Brady elevating himself because he's already elevated. So there's less risk to reward for Antonio Brown than there is for Tom Brady.
There's less risk. The risk is he's not on a freaking team.
He's going to be on. How about the
risk
on,
of zero? How about the risk of zero? How about that? I'll take a starting quarterback on the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champs with Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski and Ronald Jones. I don't need to draft Tom Brady high, but shit, at least he's on a team.
Antonio Brown's currently sleeping on Tom Brady's couch. They kiss each other goodnight every night. Come on, like you tell me he's not going to be on Tampa Bay.
I'm telling you, he's not going to be on Tampa Bay.
Oh God, that's a hot take.
That is a hot take.
That's a hot. I don't know. That's sizzling.
Sizzling. Tom Brady. Antonio Brown. All right, what's the next one? Let's keep going.
All right, Nick, would you rather go to a hockey game with Jalen Ramsey or Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, I mean, I think you want to go anywhere with Rob Gronkowski, don't you? I mean, Rob's a super fun guy. I mean, it depends on what hockey game it is. Like, I am Canadian, and I'm a diehard Montreal Canadiens fan. So if I had to go to a Boston Bruins game with Rob Gronkowski, it'd be a big no. No, I think, but it, with the exception of that experience, it has to be Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Have you heard what Jalen Ramsey said about hockey?
I did not know that Jalen Ramsey has said anything about hockey, and I'm actually quite surprised that Jalen Ramsey is aware of hockey. Is he in LA? Is he an LA Kings guy now?
So what he said is he could become a professional hockey player in 6 months.
If I had any evidence that he could skate, that would help his argument. I think that's actually quite an aggressive thing to say. I would bet against that. I would happily. I'm not a gambling man, but I would bet against Jalen Ramsey being able to become an NHL player in 6 months. I think those odds, the $600 to win 48. I think I would make that bet.
That right, Jalen Ramsey right. That
could
seems
not be
solid.
A hockey player in 6 months.
All right, Nader. Red. Would you rather be in a COVID bubble with Michael Vick or Tim Tebow?
Huh, that's a good one. See, with Michael Vick, I think there'd be more entertainment. Tim Tebow, he's a safer option. I feel like I'll just be stuck in Bible prayer for 2 weeks straight. I'm going to have to go with Michael Vick. I feel like there's more entertainment value there. I think he could entertain me a lot more than Tim Tebow could.
Absolutely. Right. I concur.
Be a little afraid of getting pets with them, but I understand. It's all good.
Yeah, fair.
All right, Nick, for the last would you rather have Richard Incognito or Vontaze Burfict have your back in a knife fight with monkeys?
How come you get the cool questions?
Because I know what Star Wars is.
There you go. That's a better answer.
You know what? Duck Rule is still the best call of all time.
Yeah. I think it's got to be Richie Incognito. I mean, Burfict, you know, I think Richie Incognito's got a bit of a bigger temper. And quite frankly, Incognito's bigger. So I think he could probably take more stabbings than Burfict can just because of body mass. So if I'm in a knife fight with someone, I think the first rule of being in a knife fight with someone is what is their shield capability, right? Incognito's a big man, ironically, right? Incognito being a big man. I like the paradox of his name. There is the second time I've thrown that word down in this podcast. So yeah, I think just from a sheer mass perspective, I would go with the bigger man within a knife fight. Because I'm shifty. I'm a little fast. I'd rather have the big man next to me, or in front of me, I should say.
Well, since you asked, I'm going to have to go with Incognito because he would throw the knife at the monkey and then just choke up the monkey with his bare hands. That's the type of person Incognito kind of gives me.
All right. So we're getting to the end of it, but there's something that I want to ask you that I read, and if you could tell me a little bit more about this, I'd love to hear. So I read that you believe that in 5 years, Nick, the sports gambling industry will be worth $300 billion. That's what I read somewhere. Is that true? And two, how do I get a piece of this?
So, I mean, it's probably true. I probably did say that. I think that the North American sports gambling market in 5 years is going to be massive. Right. I think that within 5 years, we're going to be sitting on a couch, whether we're using our television remote control, we're using our phone, or using our voice, we will be able to make in-play bets live while watching the game on television. You know, is the pitch going to be a ball or strike? I bet $2 that Hinjin Ryu's next pitch is going to be a strike, whatever. Will Vladdy Guerrero hit, walk, strike out in his next at bat, right? I believe as technology gets better by way of real-time data, the limiting of broadcast latency when it comes to real-time gaming, as set-top box, smart TV, technology improves, mobile technology increases, there's more sports betting apps out there, media companies fully lean into the value of what sports betting is going to mean to them. I think that the ceiling of the North American sports betting market is astronomically high, $300 billion. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why that's not possible. And right now, the best way to get in is to invest in Bally stock because we trade on the public market. There you go.
Stimulus money, guys. Stimulus money. There you go.
There you go. Bally's trading at around $72 a share. There's nowhere but up to go. So there's my $300 billion pitch.
Is that insider trading?
No, it's not insider trading. It's stock promotion. Dave Portnoy can do it, so why can't I?
There you go.
They're genius.
That's about all I got for the questions and the show. I really appreciate you being here. Is there anything that we should be talking about that we're missing, Nader?
So I have one little question for our fantastic guest. So because I've never used monkey knife fight before, and I'm sure there's a couple listeners that haven't also. So what type of contests, if I said that properly, should people expect to see on there? Like, is it during the Super Bowl, what color the Gatorade is going to be?
No. So think fantasy, think player prop fantasy. So as an example for the Super Bowl this year, we have a number of different contest types on our platform. One of our most popular is called More or Less. So during the Super Bowl, the contest would have been Patrick Mahomes, more or less than 303.5 passing yards, Tom Brady, more or less than 292.5 passing yards. You predict both of those correct, you would win 3.5 times your buy-in. So you can turn $10 into $35. So as an example, basketball tonight, it's single game. So the Sixers are playing the Bucks. So you could play more or less Giannis. I think his line is 29.5 points, and more or less Tobias Harris at 21.5 points. This is that simple, right? We wanted to create a really easy to understand daily fantasy sports product that a user could download our app, sign up, pick a contest with any, or you go to our mobile website or go on desktop, monkeyknifefight.com. And very easily, within like 3 clicks, get into a contest literally 2 minutes before the game starts. So it's literally that kind of easy to get involved and that easy to understand.
There we go. That kind of nailed that question on the head.
I've been asked that question a couple times before.
There we go. Because when we're talking about prop bets, that's kind of one of the first things that popped through my mind. Like, kind of like in the Hardball Super Bowl with both of their brothers, one of the prop bets was how many times will the word Hardball be said on air? So I think that's what a lot of people are questioning.
There you go. So think player proposition. That's you know, it's just player based. You know, it's daily fantasy sports without having to create salary caps across all the different teams and all the different leagues.
Well, we wanted to thank you guys all for listening and thank you guys for being here. Nader, if somebody wants to find you, how would they go about doing that?
So on Twitter, you can go at @toptiertactics_. That'll be my username. Usually I'm just kind of badgering people, instigating arguments, or just kind of playing, having fun. You guys can go and check me out there.
All right. And Nick, if somebody wanted to find you, or get involved with Monkey Knife Fight, how do they do that?
Well, go to monkeyknifefight.com, download the app. We offer a deposit bonus of 100% match, an instant match up to $50. And you get a free $5 game on sign up. You can use, I don't think you have a promo code, so you could just use, you don't even have to use a promo code. You can follow me on Twitter. I've started getting on Twitter a little bit more. NICSULSKY, a real cryptic name, Nick Sulsky. You know, I'm on LinkedIn. If anyone in the business industry wants to get involved, just reach out to me. As Adam, or I guess you go by Mo, you know, said, you know, I'm pretty accessible. Just hit me up. I'm happy to talk, you know, share. I'm not shy to share my opinion, except for people that have never seen Star Wars before.
Who's that? I wonder who that could be.
Just all kidding, right, guys. It was a real pleasure. I'm a fan of what you guys do. I really like your podcast. And, thanks for reaching out, Mo and Nader. It's a real pleasure. I'm just busting your balls a little bit.
Oh, of course. Same
here. The force be with you all. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
He ain't pretty no more. Smithers, this monkey's going to need most of your skin. Mm.